somebody else.
Senate Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Welcome, everyone. We only have four bills on the agenda, so hopefully this will not take us too late into the evening. Welcome to the committee, Senator Saltzman.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm here tonight with Senate File Number 3003. And should I get started?
Yes, please.
Very good. Well, first of all, I want to thank you because, I believe, in 2008 in our finance bill, we included language that directed the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to restructure rules so that solid waste would be disposed with groundwater protection as a prime factor. And as this committee perhaps remembers, in 2008, there were a couple bills that came before this committee of financing the cleanup of the Washington County disposal site because of the PFCs. And as this committee and others struggled with the significant cost of cleaning up those landfills, we had a lot of discussions of shouldn't we be doing something different in terms of siting them and feeling that perhaps the rules that were in place needed to be updated. This report on rulemaking, I believe, is in your packet and describes the MPCA proposal for carrying out that piece of it. What has come up over the interim as they have done this work, and there were a number of stakeholder groups, I believe you have a few pages from the full report, is that they base the interpretation of the legislative directive to cover all land disposal, both new and existing. And so they have asked the legislature that if we need to clarify our intended directive to them to be narrower in scope, that it would only apply to new facilities, that we should probably specify that. So this particular bill that you see before you, Senate File 3003, really builds on, the work that has been done with a number of stakeholder groups to really clarify that going forward the rulemaking is just for the new landfills. And there's a couple of folks here today with me who have worked on this. Mr. Huguenin, who is with the Friends of Washington County and has really followed this closely. I'd like him to just give a few comments about the process and, again, how we worked with a number of stakeholder groups representing many different interests to make sure that this was, a good bill and strong language, but also brought into the discussion, the concerns of some of these other stakeholder groups, our counties and some of our outlying areas. So perhaps, Mr. Huguenin, if you'd like to share what you learned.
Very good. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. My name is Mark Huguenin. I am with the Friends of Washington County. I have been involved with the stakeholder process that was created in the 2008 legislation for a period of a couple of years now. Needless to say, all of the stakeholders participated in that process. Needless to say, there are differences of opinion on certain issues. What this legislation does, however, is it enables that process, that rulemaking process, to go forward. It's my view, having participated over the past 2 years, that there are some difficult issues, but that there are issues that can and will be resolved during the rulemaking process. I would just point out that really, to us, the fundamental issue is that the rules for siting landfills are over 20 years, close to 25 years old today. There's a great deal of scientific knowledge that we have today that we did not have 25 years ago, and probably the primary responsibility of the rulemaking process is going to be incorporating that scientific knowledge into the methodologies that we use to evaluate landfill sites and to site landfills going forward. And I think that's very important work. And again, I think that the issues pertaining to that are not easy issues, but they can and will be resolved. And so I hope that this legislation goes forward and that the rulemaking process does the same. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you very much.
And also with me is Dr. Alexander, who is with the University of Minnesota Department of Geology and Geophysics, and perhaps just share a little bit as well would like about the bill.
Just to say that...
Dr. Alexander, can you just introduce yourself for the record, please?
Excuse me.
Madam Chairman. My name is Calvin Alexander. I'm a professor in the geology department at the University of Minnesota. I've been called in terms of working with the siting criteria. We've been studying groundwater protection for many years, and that's the kind of information that we've been trying to bring into it.
Senator Saltzman, as the Finance Committee, we want to kind of hone in on the fiscal issues here. And is the financial assurance language, there's some new financial, do you want to just talk about that briefly,
right,
and then we can talk about the fiscal note?
Right. Well, in terms of this is that, you know, that is new language, and it's and there's a the language directs the commissioner of the MPCA to work with the commissioner of management and budget to determine the forms of the financial assurance, and that they're acceptable for private owners and public owners, and that there's a process to do that. And so it's really, it needs to have a stakeholder group, and I think that's why the fiscal note just came back. It was in my email box as I walked into the room, that there's a small fiscal note on it, and that would be to be able to include staff so there could be a larger stakeholder group involved in that process, so that they could use that particular input to address the environmental concerns, the length of time the financial assurance is needed, and some of those issues. So that is why there is an additional fiscal note on here. And just a note also is that in 2008, as we had this discussion about the siting of landfills, there was an attempt to perhaps be very prescriptive as a legislature in determining how we would determine if there was a risk to groundwater contamination. And what we heard repeatedly from people was, well, we'd rather have a rulemaking process. And so that was why we went this route. But there is a moratorium in place right now until the rulemaking is then completed. So that's why there's a sense of urgency in some respects to be able to be more definitive in what we want the rulemaking to cover, because if it does not continue, the moratorium continues to stay in place. And that is an issue, I know, with a number of stakeholders.
All right, thank you. Mr. Mueller, do you want to just tell us the details of this?
Madam Chair and members, the fiscal note is being handed out. The main part of the PCA's explanation is on page 3 of the fiscal note under assumptions. And there, again, this is in reference to Section 3 of the bill. They are stating they would need two people to work half-time for half a year working with this group. So it would be a one-time cost of approximately $54,000. And they're stating this could come out of the environmental fund. So the question would be how important is this stakeholder group, and could PCA do it without the stakeholder group, or could they do it with the process that they're already using in making these rules? So,
well, it looks like the language, it just says that they have to seek input from stakeholders. I'm not sure that it's a formal schedule of meetings or anything, or an appointed group or anything like that. So I'm not sure why that costs money to call people up and ask them their opinions. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe we could just ask the PCA what they have in mind for this. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Thorvig.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lisa Thorvig, Municipal Division Director at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and I apologize for getting this fiscal note out to you so late. It does say below the assumptions, where it talks about expenditure and or revenue formula, it does say the PCA can absorb this cost.
Huh.
We believe that this type of stakeholder process on the financial assurance is very important for our overall program. So while it will be a little cost, we think it's important for the program to do this, and we can absorb the cost.
Okay, that's great. We like fiscal notes like that. Senator Saltzman.
One thing else I'd like to just add, Madam Chair, is that on line 4.18, there is new language that says that the financial responsibility rules will be for a minimum of 30 years. And the intent is that would be for new landfills moving forward. that would not be for existing landfills because they have not had the ability to plan for that. So I just want to clarify that because I know that there's been a lot of discussion with this bill of is it existing landfills or new landfills, and so we've tried to be very, very specific in here, but I just want to note that for the committee because that has been a question that has been raised. So it is a minimum of 30 years moving forward with new landfills that are cited under the new rules.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, Senator Saltzman, I just wanted to make sure that people are very clear. It's for this rulemaking, it doesn't apply to those landfills, but it doesn't preempt them from the future 5-10 years from now from doing that. Because the way this is structured, where it says on 2.23 to 2.24 or 2.22, the financial assurance and citing modifications to the rules specified in the Act from 2008, and this Act shall not apply to. And that's where we're talking about the existing facilities. So anything under this, so under this rulemaking that's been directed by this Act, and the one 2 years ago. They cannot expand that beyond 30 years for those existing facilities. But that does not preclude them 5 years or 10 years from now under their general rulemaking authority to go back and look at this again.
Very good.
Well, they can always go back and change.
Well, yes, Madam Chair. But, Madam Chair, that's why it doesn't say in Section 2 that it only applies, that the minimum of 30 years only applies to existing facilities, because it's only through this rulemaking. You'd have to make a statutory change if you did something more than that.
Okay. All right. All right, Senator Saltzman, anything else you wanted to tell us?
That's all for right now, unless there's other people who want to testify, Madam Chair.
Let's ask if anyone else would like to testify on Senate File 3003. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members of the committee, and thank you, Senator Saltzman, for bringing forward this bill. My name is Mike Robertson. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, and I also represent a coalition that is called the Local Government Business Landfill Siting Coalition that includes about 40 counties around the state, about 30 private facilities, and as Senator Saltzman noted, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of interaction with stakeholders over the past 2 years in discussing all of the very technical issues in talking about landfill siting and financial assurance and working with the Pollution Control Agency. In the Policy Committee, we testified on a number of issues, and I appreciate the work of the committee and the work of Senator Saltzman. I just wanted to note that we continue to be concerned about this issue of application to existing facilities, and we will continue to work with the author on that question. We have concerns about the reference to karst geology in the bill and the term likely to develop. And so we want to continue to work with the committee and with Senator Saltzman and others as we move forward to try to further discuss some possible solutions on these issues. But for now, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Are there questions? Okay. I think, Senator Saltzman, we talked about putting this in the omnibus bill.
Right, I believe we did. Or if you can dual track it, it's up to you, Madam Chair.
I think we can do that because it doesn't, it's pretty much a neutral fiscal note. So that's fine if you'd like to take it to the floor.
Very good.
Up to you. Senator Vickerman would like to move that Senate File 3003 be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Committee. On the motion, sorry, I'm waiting. You're all waiting for me, and I'm waiting for you. It's been a long day, sorry. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Thank you.
Chair, thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, Senator Saxon. No, Don, can you pull out this statute because this is
feelings and stuff.
Yes.
Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Today I'm presenting 2691. This bill will repeal Chapter 84.02 relating to definitions in statutory law. Last year when the Lasard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council began the process of determining projects to use the dedicated funding dollars, they felt it was necessary to create further definitions for the words protect, enhance, and restore beyond what was in the constitutional amendment. We then proceeded, and the other body felt it necessary to create their own set of definitions, and we all felt frustration over a little bit over both sets of definitions. But anyway, this language will again remove the definitions from Chapter 84.02, and I really I would ask Mr. Knopf to help me describe the sections that we are repealing.
Okay, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Madam Chair, if you look at the bill, on 1.8, the sections are listed under Minnesota Statutes 2008. Those are the prairie definitions that were and grassland definitions that were enacted in 2007. And then the sections that are the 2009 supplement are the definitions from last year. 3.3006 is the one that applies the definitions to three of the legacy funds, and the 84.2, 4A, 6A, and 6B, yeah. Those are the definitions of protect, restore, and enhance that were enacted last year. So that's basically what you have. And I'm surprised they don't have an appendix on this.
For a repealer, yeah, we normally do.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think we did in the policy committee.
Should
we be putting that in, or?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry about it. Not now. I mean, just have to look it up. And is that all you?
That's all I
have
to say.
Okay. And because this relates to all the legacy funds, we thought it was important for the division to take a look at it as well. And we had a lot of discussion about this in the policy committee. I'm looking at a couple of you who are not, three of you who are not on the policy committee. And just for clarification now, we have some language related to prairie restoration and the use of, the preference for native ecotypes, and that applies in our appropriations bills, correct, and in the bonding bills?
Madam Chair, it applies wherever it's been stated. It's been stated in a number of places. But this was enacted in 2007, and since the 2008 legislature, this has not been used. I think it was used a couple of times in 2008. They referenced this section, but last session it was not referenced at all.
And, well, the language that's still in here is the old language that there was problematic for a lot of people. So we have a compromise language that's been placed in our appropriations laws. And I think Senator Saxhog and I have talked about the possibility of trying to find a compromise on this, these definitions of protect, restore, enhance, and I think when we get to conference committee, we'll have an opportunity to have that discussion with the House, because I'm not sure that they see any problem with the current language, but I think many of us feel that the language that's in law is not very workable. So we need to try to find a way around it. Senator Saxhog.
And Madam Chair, at this point, I'd move that 2691 as amended be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion with Senate File 3275. And the reason I do that is because Senator Chaudhry will be next, and his bill is very similar. And if there's some testifying, that maybe it'd be more appropriate on his bill.
Sounds good. Let's do that. And then we can, if people want to speak, they can speak to both issues on the next bill. All right. Any discussion from the committee on Senator Saxhog's motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you. Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you. Senate File 2830, like Senator Saxhog mentioned, is very similar to his, except it that repeals an additional item, that is the legislative guide that was passed as part of the legacy funding appropriations last year. Similar to what Mr. Knopf mentioned about the native prairie rules not being used since 08, the legislative guide is, we're kind of not really, not to mention the fact that I don't think it's a good idea, but since then, I don't even think the House has passed or a legislative guide. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong. And this was a House idea. And I think there was a due date of January 15th or something like that. So I think that in addition to being a bad idea, the legislative guide seems a little obsolete as well. So I'm suggesting we repeal this. I don't think there's any opposition to Senator Saxog's bill in the policy committee, nor was there on mine. I don't know how far we need to go into testimony unless it's really desired, but I think the financial implications are similar to Senator Saxog's bill as well.
I think you're right, Senator Chaudhary, and that legislative guide, well, it's sort of more tangentially related to financing, but it really depends on what's in it. But it's supposed to be a guide for how the legislature makes decisions on the legacy funds. So I would really just see if there's questions from the committee or if this is sort of, if everybody, do people feel the need for testimony on this? Would you like to hear any witnesses? I sense that we probably can just move forward on this. And since it's not the policy committee, even though I've been practicing saying Mr. Bizzat. Bizzat?
Oh.
Okay, good. All right. Well, now I've got your name down. I won't forget it. Senator Chaudhary, why don't you just move your bill?
I'll move that Senate file 2830 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Very good. All right.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dill.
Did somebody come a long distance to give us a piece of their mind and we're not going to let them do it now?
Oh.
I don't believe they did, but we can certainly ask that. And if anybody really would like to be heard, we would give you that opportunity. So, gentlemen, it's your choice.
They did not travel a long distance.
I know they've been here all day. So
just like us.
Just stay. Just stick around. You know. All right. Thank you, Senator Dill. That's appropriate to ask that question. All right. On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Wow. This is kind of a world record at going fast.
Fourth bill.
Oh, awesome. We are moving very quickly, Senator Sieben, so I hope your witnesses are here or will be arriving shortly. And members, this is, just by way of introduction, this bill was introduced late, and I don't think it was possible to have hearings on it. And Senator Sieben will explain the circumstances relating to that, and we wanted to give her a chance to talk about the issue and see if there's anything that needs to be any action that we would need to take, given that we don't actually have a bill in front of us. So, Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. And again, thank you for taking the time to hear about this issue and to hear testimony on this bill proposal. I'll do my best to explain the bill and then give brief rationale for its need and why the bill is coming to committee late. I'd like to first point out that the one hazardous waste incinerator in the state is located in Cottage Grove. It is operated and run by 3M Corporation. The company, when building the incinerator, promised to only burn internal waste from 3M. Now the company wants to be able to incinerate hazardous waste from other companies. And the company maintains that the purpose of allowing non-3M hazardous waste to be burned is to negate the need to burn natural gas as a fuel source. The company has said that this would save approximately $750,000 a year. and the community has expressed that it's opposed to an expanded use of the incinerator. 3M is obviously a good employer. The company employs many of my constituents and has employed some of my family members. The proposal before you is not about whether 3M is doing a good job of operating their Cottage Grove plant. The proposal is about a community saying no to an expansion of the plant that would bring in hazardous waste from other sources and from other companies, both within and outside the state of Minnesota. So the bill would establish a definition of what a commercial hazardous waste incinerator is and then prohibit the issuance of a permit for this type of activity. The legislation will clarify that a commercial hazardous waste incinerator is one that receives hazardous waste from other companies. Again, though, it's important to note that this is the one hazardous waste incinerator in the state. And this will allow for the bill will allow for the continuation of processing of 3M waste at the incinerator as they're doing now, but it would not allow for 3M to accept non-captive waste. So the need for the clarification is this. Obviously, as I said, 3M is requesting a permit modification to the MPCA that would allow the company to burn non-3M waste. And the company has stated that it wants to burn other companies' hazardous waste to augment a decline in their own stream. The company has also said that since it will not be paid to take other companies' waste, the facility should not be considered commercial. However, the company is receiving a financial benefit for processing the waste. And again, the bill would not stop the company from its current practices of burning its own waste. So it became apparent at a recent community meeting that the desires of the local community were not being thoroughly addressed. The City Council of Cottage Grove passed an ordinance that prohibits the company from accepting waste for a fee. The City Council expressed support for doing more, and hopefully the mayor will arrive here shortly. He's now here. The City Council expressed support for doing more and to prohibit non-3M waste, but the city was advised by its attorney that it could not pass an ordinance that prohibits 3M from accepting non-3M waste without subjecting the city to a lawsuit. So at a recent public meeting on this subject, local city council members expressed regret that they, as a city council, could not do more to stop the bringing in of outside waste. The county commissioner, who hopefully will arrive here shortly, also is opposed to the proposal. And Greg Cavall from the MPCA, who represented the MPCA at the community meeting, said that legislative action was needed because there is nothing in state statute that would lead the MPCA to not issue the permit. The MPCA has stated that 3M will need to be issued a new hazardous waste permit before they can burn waste taken by others. Pollution control agency officials have said state laws do not differentiate between commercial and non-commercial facilities, and that they are likely to approve the changes. So essentially, at this meeting, there is a variety of city, county, state regulators, and state legislators all saying that they oppose it, but no one could do anything about it. So shortly after this public meeting and after hearing from more constituents, I decided that this issue needed more discussion, and that's why I introduced the bill. The proposal for the expanded use of the facility will go through the MPCA normal issuance process and likely to the Citizens Board. But again, the MPCA has said that they're likely to approve the proposal because there's nothing in state statute that would prohibit them from doing so. So we have a situation where a variety of local people are saying that they want the legislature to do something about it, to stop 3M from taking 16 to 18 million pounds of hazardous waste from other businesses to burn as fuel. So briefly on the merits of prohibiting the expanded use of hazardous waste facility, and the other testifiers will speak to this more. But members, if you think about, the company has said that they will and will only be allowed because of the city ordinance to take hazardous waste from other companies, and they will only do that without being paid for it. So companies that right now have to pay a third party to process their hazardous waste will lose the incentive to decrease their hazardous waste production because another company is saying they'll take it for free. I think that's something that the state should carefully consider. Also, the waste stream is not as predictable or as reliable. And again, more Fred Luden will speak to that more. And again, the original intent of the city was not to allow non-3M waste. So this is a major change, and city residents are not comfortable becoming a repository of hazardous waste for other companies from around the country. There is no economic benefit to the city should this proposal go through. And I just add that as a mother of a young child who lives in Cottage Grove, I'm concerned about the increased emissions and the transport of additional hazardous waste materials through my legislative district and through my community. So, and again, finally, without this legislation or without this change, if the MPCA issues this permit, the state of Minnesota will now become a recipient of hazardous waste from other states. And I think that this is really a major policy change and worthy of discussion. So that's a general overview of the proposal, and I'm happy to stand for questions. And I don't know, members, if you want to hear from my additional testifiers now or...
We will, but we'll see if there's questions first. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Sieben, how many hazardous waste incinerators are there in the state?
There's one. Madam Chair and Senator Hahn, there's just one. It's just the...
Just this one.
And right now it's not a commercial hazardous waste facility.
And Madam Chair and Senator Sieben, if 3M decides that it's not economical to operate a hazardous waste facility and they close it down, then what would happen in terms of disposing of the hazardous waste in our state? What would happen?
Madam Chair and Senator Hahn, I assume that 3M would ship their hazardous waste to their other hazardous waste facilities, incinerators, which are located in other parts of the country. So right now, the company only incinerates its own waste. And because they have other facilities, I believe one in Decatur, Alabama, if I'm not mistaken, they would likely ship their waste to that facility.
And Senator Hahn.
Madam Chair and Senator Sieben, I guess it was my understanding that there were other smaller amounts of hazardous waste coming from other places besides 3M. I think the wording of your bill seems to suggest that is the case. It says that your bill wouldn't prohibit the incineration of what you call small quantities from public bodies on an emergency basis. So I'm assuming that there's some other things that get disposed of here.
Madam Chair and Senator Hahn, that language came about because as the discussions continue about how to dispose of pharmaceutical drugs that are collected by various law enforcement agencies, that if the company wanted to be able to incinerate those drugs, for instance, that would not prohibit, this legislation would not prohibit that from occurring.
All right, why don't we, okay, Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sieben, has anybody taken a measurement of the emissions from the burnings? I mean, how's it affected the atmosphere in your community? Do you have some data on that? And what would be the effect of taking on these additional loads of hazardous waste to burn?
Madam Chair and Senator Rummel, I believe that do you have a handout of the permitted emission levels and the actual emissions data from 2005? This sheet. So this shows, for example, in 2005, the different emission levels in the second chart here. And you'll see, members, that many of the actual emissions are 6 to 7 times below the permitted emission amounts, which is also a point of concern, I think, because the MPCA has said that while the actual emissions may not increase substantially, they're still permitted to increase 5 to 6 times more. And again, as I said earlier, it's approximately 16 to 18 million pounds of additional hazardous waste that would be processed at the facility.
Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair, do we have anybody from the MPCA who could testify on this issue?
Hopefully we do. Is there anyone here from the PCA prepared to speak? Do you have a specific question for them right now, or should we just let them come up in the course of the testimony?
Madam Chair, I guess I'm just wanting to hear a little bit about Senator Sieben in her testimony was suggesting that the MPCA was going to permit this, and I just wanted to understand what their take on this proposal was, and if they're here to talk about it, I'd like to hear it.
Okay. Yep, we'll need to hear from them for sure. So now is as good a time as any, and then we'll bring in your witnesses from your community. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair, committee members, I'm Jody Boyne, the Director of Public Affairs at the MPCA. I'm sorry, but we weren't asked to testify at this committee, so I do not have technical expertise with me. The MPCA has been actively working on the permit, both in the community, and I can take your questions back to the technical experts tonight and get you answers in writing tomorrow. We weren't asked to testify, so we did not bring those people forward, but I can provide you with an overview of the process and take your questions back to staff tonight.
Senator Hamm.
Madam Chair, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Jody Boyne, Director of Public Affairs.
Ms. Boyne, thank you. I guess the question is that this permitting that is being contemplated, are you opposed to it? Are you favor it? Do you have a position on the permit? The thing that's being proposed to happen here with the facility, is that within the, as far as your agency is concerned, is there any problem with the permit?
I'm not, Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, I'm not going to speculate on whether or not we oppose or are currently approving the permit, as we're currently in the permitting process. And it is a very detailed process, and we base our decisions on the environmental assessment. As Senator Sieben said, and the chart shows, 3M currently operates underneath its current threshold, and based on our preliminary assessments, this permit expansion, they still will not operate at those thresholds. But at this time, I'm not able to speculate on that permit. It is an official process. It will go out on public notice. There will be public hearings in addition to the numerous public hearings that have already taken place or public meetings on this issue. Once those public meetings are completed, then the PCA will make its determination on whether to approve or deny that permit. Then that permit goes before the MPCA Citizens Board, and the Citizens Board decides whether or not to move forward the staff recommendation.
And Madam Chair and Ms. Boyne, and what is the timetable for that to occur? Is this going to happen? It's in the process right now, I take it, and what is the timetable for when that process is completed?
Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, it is currently in that process. The permit, I do not know at this time when it will go out on public notice, but I know that we are approaching the point where we would be putting that out on public notice. I think it would be this spring. And again, I can get you more information on that from my staff tonight and provide a response in writing to the committee tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dill.
Well, Madam Chair, Ms. Boyan, where is this hazardous waste going now that it will be going to this 3M plant?
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, again, I apologize. I am not on our permitting team or the technical staff. I do not have the answer to that question, but I will check with our technical staff tonight and get back to you tomorrow morning.
And perhaps 3M might have some information about that. We can ask them later, too.
And all right. Again, Madam Chair, my apologies for not having our technical staff with us.
We appreciate you being here, Ms. Boyne. Is it possible to get answers to any of these questions really quickly?
I will proceed to my chair and send out a message via BlackBerry. If I have the answers for you, I'll come back to the table.
Excellent.
And if not, I will get them to you first thing in the morning.
Thank you. We appreciate that. All right. Why don't we bring up Fred
Luden.
Luden. I should have remembered my... Yeah, never mind. E after...
Madam Chair, committee members, my name's Fred Ludenich, just like in the cough drops.
There
really,
you go.
Really easy to remember.
I should have known. I'm usually good with names, but not today, apparently.
Yeah, I find myself kind of in an unusual situation today. You know, I'm not part of an environmental organization. In fact, prior to my retirement in 2007, I spent 42 years working in industry, with almost 36 years of that working for 3M Company. For 3 years of my career, I was a site director at 3M Cottage Grove Center, and when a decision to retire was made, it was my decision. My job was not eliminated. It wasn't part of a downsizing. I'm not a bitter ex-employee. I don't have any hidden agendas or sinister intentions. Unlike some of the individuals before me who were the site directors and some of those that are after me, I chose to live in Cottage Grove, so I'm here today as just a resident stakeholder. I'm also a member of the Independent Coalition of Concerned Cottage Grove Citizens, and this group was started, and it opposes commercial hazardous waste incinerators, and it opposes the 3M proposal to bring in waste from other companies. We wanted to have a voice that represented the entire community, so as a group, we funded and paid and contracted with Decision Resources to conduct a community-wide survey on the 3M proposal. And Cottage Grove is about 35,000 residents. The survey results showed that 2 out of 3 residents opposed the 3M proposal, and even more significant is almost 3 out of 4 of the homeowners are opposed to the proposal. At times, we feel like David against two really big Goliaths when we're dealing with 3M and with the MPCA, and we really appreciate the opportunity. We want to just communicate 4 key points that we think are critical. One, first point is, as residents, we think a deal's a deal. It is coalition understanding that in 1970, an agreement was made between 3M Company and the Village of Cottage Grove. 3M would be allowed to construct and operate a hazardous waste incinerator with the restriction that 3M would be limited to burning only waste from their manufacturing facilities. It was viewed as a pollution control device as part of their manufacturing processes, and that's how it's been viewed since it started. The current language in the incinerator air permit, the 3M corporate incinerator provides treatment and storage for business-related waste grant generated by 3M operating divisions in North America, identifies that restriction. The current language in their wastewater treatment MPDES permit, the 3M hazardous waste incinerator is located at the 3M Cottage Grove Center, where hazardous waste from other 3M plants in the U.S. may be incinerated. This also reflects the current restriction. Both permits contain language that's clearly consistent with the original agreement between the Village of Cottage Grove and 3M Company. And that's why the residents think the deal's a deal, and we should just stick to the deal that was agreed to right from the beginning. The second item that we're concerned about is the chain of custody. 3M current permit restricts bringing in waste from non-3M facilities and should not be changed. 3M manages waste streams from the purchase of the raw materials all the way to the final disposal of the waste. This is kind of like the chain of custody. The company knows what's in the waste and about any changes in the raw materials because they control the formulas that make the products. Even the bulk liquid waste that currently comes into Cottage Grove is from a process that has well-defined formulas. This has allowed them to do a very good job when material needs to be incinerated, and the coalition is not being critical of the 3M operation. The regulated hazardous waste that is being proposed will come from a fuel blender. They take in regulated hazardous waste from dozens of small companies that generate small quantity wastes. Some is reclaimed and some is reused, but when the liquid can no longer be reclaimed, it's mixed with the still bottoms. That's after they process to save the waste. This is what's left over. And it contains organic compounds, metals, and other contaminants. When you propose in bringing in material from another company, you lose the chain of custody, you compromise accountability, and ultimately, you lose the responsibility. The third item that we have a concern about is lead and heavy metals. We're just tired of hearing about the lawnmower analogy that we read in the paper all the time, and being honest, we're a little bit disappointed in the MPCA for repeating these analogies. It's all, those are about risk management, and they put a spin on it to make people feel comfortable with additional risk. And the citizens are saying, we're not comfortable. You cannot burn leaded gasoline in a lawnmower. The current permit allows 3M to process 3 pounds of lead an hour, averaged over a 12-hour period. So over that 12-hour period, they can average, they can run 36 pounds, averages 3 pounds an hour. Doesn't sound like much, but 3 pounds an hour, 24 hours a day, 300 days a year, is 21,600 pounds of lead. At 0.6 grams of lead in a gallon, and the old leaded gasoline type, that would make about 16,330,000 gallons of leaded gasoline. At 600 gallons a year per vehicle, that would be equal to 27,200 cars to switch, if they were allowed to switch back to leaded gasoline. But that can't happen because since January 1st, 1996, the Clean Air Act banned the sale of leaded fuel on on-road vehicles. Possession and use of leaded gasoline in on-road vehicles is a $10,000 fine. So, again, we have concerns about bringing in leaded, heavy leaded materials. 3M will bring in non-3M hazardous waste containing heavy metals in addition to their own current waste streams that already contain heavy metals. The EPA hazardous waste treatment and disposal site clearly states, since metals will not combust, incineration is not an effective method for metal-bearing hazardous waste. Some heavy metals are released in the air, some through the wastewater to the Mississippi, and what is captured shipped to hazardous waste landfill. None of the metals are destroyed. You cannot buy gasoline with lead in it. You can't buy paint with lead in it. Lead's banned in children's toys and in jewelry. Children and expectant mothers in Cottage Grove are just as important as the children in the other parts of the state. In addition, we would hope that 3M would voluntarily commit to a date where they would eliminate heavy metals in their own waste streams. The last item is particulate, and we're tired of hearing about the burning in your backyard or the fireplace analogy, which always gets repeated. The selective attachment of heavy metals to smallest particulates emitted from incinerators increase the toxicity of these particulates. This fact is likely to make the particulates from incinerators much more dangerous than particulates from other sources. A large and growing body of literature, primarily from the World Health Organization, highlighted the dangers of particulates to health. Various studies have confirmed the smaller the size of the particulates, the more dangerous the health effects. The particulate matter emitted from the 3M hazardous waste incinerator or other hazardous waste incinerators that comply with the MAC standards emit submicron particles, less than 1 micron. Most of the studies are done at 10 micron and 2.5 micron size particles. Smaller mic sizes have a larger surface area. A further danger of the smallest particulates is there are thousands more of them per unit of weight. In incinerators, heavy metals, dioxins, and other chemicals can adhere to the surface, increasing their toxicity. The body does not have efficient methods for clearing the deeper part of your lung as only a tiny fraction of natural particles are as small as these. So the smaller particles are not filtered out by your nose or your bronchioles, and their minuscule size allows them to be breathed deeply into their lungs and can be absorbed directly into the bloodstream where they can persist for hours. So those are the four key points we have. And the coalition, after doing a lot of soul searching, now understands that companies meeting regulations do not define how safe a community is. The regulation defines the maximum amount of harm a community can do before being fined. And we do not believe that we can have more permit modifications or new permits that do not help correct some of the environmental issues that we face. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Luden. Questions? Okay, we appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Commissioner Peterson? If several of you would like to come up together to the table, that would be fine. The mayor and the council member also, if there's chairs. Pull up a chair. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for allowing us to testify today. I'm Myra Peterson. I'm Washington County Commissioner. I live in Cottage Grove, and I'm also a wife of a former mayor of Cottage Grove. So I have 30-plus years of history in Cottage Grove. My family grew up in Cottage Grove. We have had an agreement with 3M, and that agreement was that we would be good citizens of Minnesota and provide an opportunity to burn the residue that they had from their manufacturing. Unfortunately, they are wanting to change that agreement, and the citizens and the local government have little or no recourse other than to take this kind of a stand. We are not pleased. We have not only air issues, we have water issues, as you are all well aware of, and we're not a bit happy with how 3M has been treating our citizens. Thank you.
Commissioner Peterson, when you say, it was mentioned a couple times that you had an agreement with 3M, can you explain where that agreement, was that in writing and that's part of the permit?
Thank you, Mrs. Chair. Madam Chair, we had, you know, and this is the unfortunate issue. It was a verbal agreement. It was a preamble. You didn't write it into the conditional use permit. That's unfortunate. But my husband was there. It was an agreement. He followed the mayor who had made the agreement. The former administrator who was in office at that time and was the father, stepfather of our current mayor, is no longer alive. So we are in a bit of a quandary because we know the former councilmen who were on the council all have agreed that this was the intent, this was the agreement that they made with 3M. We were trying to be a responsible community to assist a very good business partner within our community.
Thank you. Okay, Mayor Bailey?
Yes, thank you for, Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak this evening. As you've been hearing from...
why don't you just introduce yourself first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Myron Bailey. I'm the mayor of Cottage Grove. That would be helpful, wouldn't it? I'm the mayor of Cottage Grove. I've actually born and raised in Cottage Grove. My family lives there. My wife's parents still live there. I've got three boys growing up in the community there, and I hope that they'll want to stay in Cottage Grove. I've been mayor just over a year now, and I was on the council 4 years prior and 8 years prior to that on the Planning Commission. So I've been very involved in the community. One of the things that's frustrating to me as mayor is when I've been hearing testimony and comments from our citizens through email, personal contacts, you know, meeting at the local Caribou or at the Cub Foods in our community. There is a genuine concern in our community about both the air and the water. As Commissioner Peterson had mentioned, you know, prior to this incinerator issue coming before us, we've got a PFC issue in our community that we're trying to deal with and working with 3M on that issue. The problem that we're having here is all along through this process, I feel like we're just kind of going through the motions. The city of Cottage Grove has basically zero opportunity to affect the outcome of this decision. We had Greg Cavall come to one of our committee or the citizens group meeting and pretty much said straight out that the PCA's hands are tied in this process. It would need legislative help to make a change where local government could have some type of a control over the products or the items that are coming into our community. At this particular time, I have no way to stop any of this happening in the city of Cottage Grove. We've had conversations with 3M. They've got their business needs. I understand that. I understand that they need to answer their shareholders. I, as a mayor, have to answer to my citizens. And the majority of my citizens have said, whether it's through surveys or through phone calls or emails to me, that they do not want to see additional outside waste other than 3M waste. We've agreed to since day one. Again, there's a lot of speculation out there where this information has come from, but I have talked to previous mayors and previous council members. It's in the preamble to the bill itself, or the original, the MPCA permit, excuse me, that was in there. And to be honest with you, we're not sure who put that in there. That was meant by the city, or if the PCA put that in there as a reminder that at the time when this was going through, that there wasn't going to be an opportunity for that to become a commercial incinerator or take outside waste. Our biggest concern has been the use of this incinerator for outside waste. When we met with 3M as a city to talk about commercial incineration, they were not willing to outright ban commercial incineration in our community, which left the city of Cottage Grove no alternative but to ask for a moratorium going forward that we would not have outside product coming into our community for incineration. What that basically did, though, is it gives 3M the opportunity, as Senator Stephen has mentioned, is now they can basically take product in from wherever and bring it into our community. But again, my hands are tied because I have no other alternative to regulate this. I'm looking for your help, I guess, in this particular case. And I think the PCA would be looking for guidance from you to work out some deal, work out something that will make it give some local control back to the local group. I think that this has been the whole process. You know, I enjoyed and have had great opportunity working with 3M. I've learned a lot through this process about the whole process of incineration and the company of 3M and such, and they're not a bad company. I just have a real concern that we're going to be opening the door to something that will not ever shut again. And I would like to see the day come where we don't have commercial incineration or outside waste coming into our community of Cottage Grove into the future.
All right, thank you. Questions for the mayor? Okay. Senator Hand.
Madam Chair and Mr. Mayor, thank you for coming. Has the city council adopted resolutions on this matter at all? Do you have five members on the council?
We do have five members. I believe I have one of our members is here this evening.
And Madam Chair and Mr. Mayor, so have you adopted resolutions addressing this issue? Have they all been unanimous? Is there difference of opinion on the council, or is this a unanimous position by the city?
You know, Senator Hand, we have a council member to testify next. Maybe we should let her testify, and she may address those issues.
If you'd like, and then I can answer your question, if you're okay with that. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, Council Member Peterson.
Jen Peterson, City Council of Cottage Grove. I live in Cottage Grove. And I am here on behalf of the residents of Cottage Grove who have expressed to me their concerns about this this matter. I'm also here on behalf of my five kids and my grandbaby that's on the way. And I am very fearful of the fact that this will increase the heavy metals and the leads that will be emitted into the air and water and ground. And we know those have bad effects. And I understand that 3M is under their limits, but it doesn't make sense to pollute to the max, I guess, and to be able to increase those levels by taking in this additional waste. I'm also concerned about the fact that I just don't feel like we know what the end result of this will be. There was discussion that the original reason why 3M wanted to take in additional waste is because of them having to purchase natural gas to burn because of their production being down. Well, I've heard from a couple different people recently that production is back up at 3M. 3M Cottage Grove has, to my understanding, rehired all or almost all of the employees that were laid off recently due to a decline in the economy and reduction in their production. So with that picking back up now, it doesn't seem to make sense to me to allow this to go through to let them bring in additional waste when their production is picking back up at this point. So then again, if they're going to be bringing in additional waste in addition to their own production picking back up, that's only going to increase it even more. So I've heard from numerous people on this issue in the community, and I'd say probably 90% of the people that I've heard from have been strongly opposed to this issue. A couple of those are 3M employees and former 3M employees, and the only people that I have heard from that have been in favor of this permitting change have been 3M employees or family members of 3M employees. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you, Council Member. Who would like to address Senator Hahn's question?
I can, Madam Chair and Senator Hahn. Hahn, sorry. There was actually two separate decisions that the council had made. One of them was after a conversation with 3M about commercial incineration and our concern about this facility becoming a commercial incinerator, they were not willing to sign an agreement or open up the original conditional use permit to allow us to insert language that would outlaw, in essence, commercial incineration. They said it was in this process that they're going through with the MPCA, but they're willing to commit to 5 years, but no more. I was not comfortable with that. And so, on a unanimous vote by the council, we decided to strike it, put the language out there, and we defined or were able to define commercial incineration as a commercial waste incineration facility, which is any facility that sells services of burning solid waste or hazardous waste materials for generators other than the owner and operator of the facility. And unfortunately, obviously, 3M has the opportunity to do that, and we'll be able to bring outside waste if this change in the permit is allowed. We would be more comfortable with them managing their own waste inside and not bring outside waste. To answer the second piece, again, due to legal issues in this process, the second direction that the council gave was to go ahead and allow 3M to move forward with their process and put specific parameters in place about what types of products or BTU values that they could burn in their facility. Now, that's not to say they can't still burn product with lead and those heavy metals, which, of course, is a concern of ours. We have not went back as a council as of yet to change the language that would outlaw any outside commercial waste, which the city could. But if we did that, it sets us up for a lawsuit because right now they have a permitted use on that site, and then the city becomes bogged down in a legal case with 3M. And I don't think either of us want to do that. But we, once again, are left with no alternative but to, you know, look to you and look to the PCA to help us figure out how do we get through this and not bring outside commercial waste into our community, let alone the state.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know maybe who, if any of particular of the witnesses can answer this, but the PCA representative that was up here earlier talked about this process of going through the approval of the request, and there's a opportunity for public hearing and comment and so forth, and I'm not trying to hold anybody to any timetables, but she speculated that that would be completed sometime this spring. Why wouldn't it make more sense to wait till the conclusion of that process before the legislature did anything?
Well, Senator Stephen.
Madam Chair and Senator Hand, and this is one reason, again, why the bill was introduced late, because it was my understanding that, or it is my understanding, and what I have been told by MPCA representatives is that the permitting process will take place this spring. So if it, and but then also at this subsequent community meeting which was held, the MPCA representative there said, look, basically they're still going to be under their permitted levels, and Minnesota has no guidance on what defines a commercial incinerator. So really there's nothing. For all intents and purposes, it's likely the permit is likely going to be approved. Now, those of us sitting at the table and the other members from the community who are here are very willing to go to the MPCA Citizens Board and express our concerns. But the problem is that, as you know, if it happens in April or May, the legislative session is likely wrapped up and concluded, and then there's no opportunity for the legislature to weigh in on this. And again, to go back to something that I said before, but I think bears repeating, at this community meeting, which happened earlier in March, all five of the city council members were there and were saying, look, community, we don't like this either, but we don't know what we can do. So I was invested in seeing the MPCA process go through, but also if there's nothing compelling the MPCA to stop it or to say this is why we won't do it, then, you know, there was really no other recourse but to introduce a bill to try to say at least we need to air the issue. Obviously the residents and the elected officials are concerned and, you know, don't think that this is the right thing for the community, but the regulatory agency is indicating that there's nothing in state statute, and council has helped me look for various opportunities, if you can imagine, for other ways we could try to fix this, and there just really isn't anything in state statute that defines what a commercial hazardous waste incinerator is.
Thank you. Commissioner, did you have your hand up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think one of the issues that concerns us is that if this is allowed to become a facility that will take commercial hazardous waste, this is in the middle of our community. We are about a third developed. This is a portion of our growth pattern. Where there are other commercial incinerators, they are in the open. They are not involved in the middle of a community, in the middle of a metropolitan area. And this is just not a good public policy to have in play.
Thank you very much for the testimony. And I see a bunch of other people here, but they're not asking to testify, I assume. They're just here in support. or some of the people are here in support. I don't know who is and who isn't. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's hear from 3M.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And we have Vicki Batru. All right. From 3M. And I don't know if there's anyone else you'd like to. Bring up. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Vicki Batroot, the current site director of 3M Cottage Grove. While I do appreciate this opportunity to be before you tonight to share our permit modification proposal with you, I am disappointed that the Minnesota legislature would consider intervening in a current regulatory, well-defined permitting process. This is very troubling to me and others within 3M, and it should be troubling to other businesses in the state of Minnesota as well. 3M Cottage Grove is a site of the only hazardous waste incinerator in Minnesota. As a pioneer of corporate environmental responsibility dating back to the early 1970s, 3M has a policy of managing its own environmental issues. The policy includes preventing pollution at the source and developing responsible management systems for handling all industrial waste. The incinerator was developed in the early 1970s to aid 3M in doing exactly that and has had a strong record of ongoing environmental performance since. Our current permit only allows 3M to incinerate waste from 3M business operations. That is true. But I do want to clarify that that designation of 3M waste is for descriptive purposes, not for limiting purposes. The language in the conditional use permit, the language in our MPCA permits, describes that we burn 3M waste as a matter of describing what the operation is. It does not limit to 3M materials. It's not in that language for that reason. As an effect of the environmental progress made across 3M, 3M plants have been reducing solvent use, not just due to the economy, but by reclaiming and reusing more solvent as part of our sustainable strategy. The environmental success that we've had has resulted in less solvent being brought to the incinerator, solvent which serves as fuel for our operations. So this has impacted our incinerator operations. As solvent waste decreases, we need to purchase additional natural gas as a substitute fuel source. As a result, 3M is proposing to use liquid solvent material from outside of 3M. This material will be very similar to solvent waste currently being received. This is waste that would have been incinerated at other facilities, but now 3M would be able to use it as a fuel source, resulting in the conservation of natural gas. Enough natural gas to heat approximately 2,000 homes during a typical Minnesota season. No expansion of capacity at the incinerator is being proposed. No changes to our air permit levels are being proposed, only a modification to allow 3M to take outside waste. 3M is not seeking compensation for accepting these wastes. The benefits to 3M would be the savings generated from not having to purchase additional natural gas. The savings are estimated to be $1 to $2 million per year, and that varies based on the price of natural gas. 3M is not able to just simply absorb these expenses. The incinerator is a key part of our business, and with an additional time delay in the permitting process, we would be forced to look at all options to keep our business going related to covering these expenses. And that means the potential loss of jobs. And currently there are over 50 employees at the incinerator. 3M has been very open throughout this entire process. We first approached all of our local elected officials back in January of 2009 to make them aware of this proposed change, before we even started the permitting process. We then voluntarily hosted a public meeting to make residents aware of our proposal. There were concerns within the community. As a result, 3M voluntarily suspended the permit proposal in order to work with the community on addressing these concerns. The city then created an environmental commission, hired an environmental consultant to review the proposal and make recommendations on how to proceed. After several months of hearings, discussions, tours, several issues of concern were identified, and 3M agreed to address all those concerns by modifying our permit language with the MPCA. An item of concern was the issue of commercial incineration. 3M is not proposing to become a commercial incinerator, and we also agreed to language in the MPCA permit that would prevent commercial incineration. We also, in this language, agreed to limit the quantity and the types of solvents that we would bring in. To give you a perspective on the quantity, with this change, we would bring 1 to 2 truckloads of solvent waste onto our site per day. That's 1 to 2 additional trucks in addition to the 100 to 125 that already come onto our site every day. So 1 to 2 more over within the 100 already there. 3M also agreed to voluntarily provide reports and updates to the city on incinerator-related activities. The Environmental Commission recommended to the City Council that we be allowed to modify our permit with these agreed-to changes. And I want to emphasize, we do not believe the MPC has made any decisions or has made any determination. They are in the middle of the process and are looking at the data. I also want to clarify around emissions. This proposal would generate an additional emission of 2 pounds of volatile organic compounds per year, 2 pounds. And that's the analogy that was referenced to one lawnmower running for 1 month in Minnesota. That's the increase in VOCs. The increase in particulates is 225 pounds. And there are analogies for that as well. So I just want to put those emissions in perspective. We are well below our permitted emission limits. This would not change. We recognize there are still concerns about our permit modification proposal, and we take the input from the community very seriously. And that is exactly why we've already delayed this process for over 1 year to work with the community. We believe this proposal is the right thing to do, the responsible thing to do. And as a business, we believe we've acted responsibly in an open manner throughout the entire process. Again, we're disappointed that this issue is being discussed here in the legislature. There is a well-defined regulatory process in place, and we encourage you to allow that process to work. Having the legislator intervene at this point would be a mistake, and in this case could impact what we currently do at our facility. The language in the bill would prohibit 3M from doing what we are currently permitted to do. I don't know if that was the intent of the author, but having the legislator intervene in what is a very technical, very complex process increases the risk for such unintended consequences significantly. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your time and attention to this important matter.
Thank you, Ms. Van Root. I just have a question. We heard testimony from the local elected officials about an agreement that was made at the date, 1980 or something like that.
1970 was the conditional use permit.
When the conditional use permit was approved. Were you at the site then, at the 3M site? Do you have any knowledge or information about that kind of community discussion and agreement?
I was not at the site, was not part of that, but based on a copy...
You would have been 5 years old, of course.
High school. Based on the copy of the permit, which we have seen, again, the permit was a document drafted to allow construction of the incinerator. It's all about the city saying, we give permission to 3M to build an incinerator, and it was started then in 1970 to be constructed and started operation in 1972. In order to describe what 3M was building, it said that it was building a facility which will burn 3M hazardous waste. It is our position that that language does not mean that it limits us to 3M waste. That is an inferred explanation as opposed to an implicit restriction. The PCA permit language is very similar. It describes what we do in terms of we burn 3M waste. It does not describe we burn only 3M waste in order to restrict it to that.
Senator Fredrickson, did you have your hand up?
Madam Chair, I did. Ms. Babrud, I'm a little confused about what's considered commercial hazardous waste and what is not. And you're saying that you would not become a commercial hazardous waste facility, but you would be bringing in additional, if allowed, you'd bring in additional material, additional solvents for disposal at your plant. So I'm confused about what those terms mean.
Madam Chair and Senator, our position of not being commercial is based on a definition of commercial incineration receiving remuneration for that service. We do not intend to accept any remuneration for accepting these wastes. We will accept them as a fuel supplement, period.
Madam Chair, Mr. Batfrood.
Senator Fredrickson.
In a certain sense, then, that solvent is a valuable resource to you because it saves natural gas.
Madam Chair and Senator, yes, absolutely.
And Madam Chair, Ms. Batfrood, I'm going back more than 10 years, maybe about 20 or so, 25. We had some very spirited discussions about how we're going to dispose of hazardous waste back in the 1980s, including even a process to try and identify a site in granite formations to bury hazardous waste. And I'm curious, over this time, has 3M ever accepted hazardous waste from outside the 3M plants? Because I thought one of the results was maybe it was only 3M waste, but I think back then one of the reasons that did not proceed was because 3M was able to incinerate hazardous waste, and what was not incinerated by 3M, I think, was shipped to a hazardous waste facility, maybe in Illinois.
Madam Chair,
and I want to see again, my memory is a little hazy as to what we're saying around this table in 1984 and 85.
Madam Chair and Senator, I'm not aware that 3M has accepted waste from other than 3M sources. There have been requests for special incineration techniques, but it's our policy that we have incinerated 3M materials.
Okay, Senator Dill, did you have your hand up?
Well, I have a statement to make which might make people mad.
That's your right, Senator Dill.
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, can we all go home then?
Well, can I just say something?
You certainly may.
Well, the way I look at this, there's this big world out there, and we all have to do our part to make the world go. And sometimes that means having something in our backyard that we don't like. And if you look at all the things that make this world go around and make our society work, there's all kinds of things that we need and we use them, but somebody has to have something in their backyard to make it work. So the way I look at it, each of us should be willing to have at least one thing in our backyard that we don't like to help society as a whole. Now, just take, for example, landfills. We need landfills to get rid of our garbage. But who wants to live next to a landfill? But somebody's got to live next to a landfill because we need landfills scattered throughout the state to take care of our waste. And then we need recycling centers. And we've all heard of the Condorator. It was a very controversial machine that processed scrap iron. But we need to process scrap iron somewhere in the state. We need someplace, junkyards here and there and so forth, to collect our junk cars. And who wants to live next to a junkyard? But somebody has to, because it makes it's an essential part of making our society work. And then we have to get from one point to another. Who wants to live next to an airport and have all that noise and all those lights and all that kind of stuff?
Or a sheep farmer.
Well, a sheep farmer. I live next to a turkey farmer. Some of us wear wool suits. And there's freeways. Think of all the people that were uprooted along the freeways all across this state, but we need freeways to get around. And somebody has to live next to them. We need them. Then there's a railroad issue. We need railroads even going through the city of Rochester. And somebody's got to live next to them. And so we all need to do our part. Now, what about sewage treatment plants? We go in the bathroom, we flush the toilet, and it's got to go someplace. And, gosh, I'm glad we got a sewage treatment plant somewhere. Now, a lot of times they're located where people aren't really living close to. But in my town, the city goes right up to the edge of the sewage treatment plant, and somebody has to live in that area. And then there's gas stations and refineries and pipelines. I have a pipeline that just went across my county. It was all kinds of protesters out there, but we needed the fuel. And some of that fuel was used in our cars to get to the Capitol today. And then what about all the crooks in society? We've got problems with people that break the law. We have to have jails and prisons and mental hospitals. And somebody's got to live next to them because the society as a whole needs that. And then there's the factories that produce the food that we, processes the food that we eat and manufactures the products that we use. Somebody has to live next to them. We go to the store and buy things and bring them home and use them and so on. And then there's all those tall things out there like windmills and radio towers and TV towers and cell phones, cell phone towers. I don't have a cell phone, but I bet most people in this room have a cell phone. But somebody's got to live next to that tower that transmits that signal to your cell phone so it works. So I think everybody in society should be willing to have at least one thing in their backyard that they don't like because somebody else has got all kinds of things in their backyard that we benefit from as a society as a whole. And I can understand why you don't want to live next to a waste processing plant that processes hazardous waste. But think of all the things you're benefiting from because somebody else lives next to something that they don't like, but you're benefiting from it. Your garbage goes out. The electricity's coming into your home because somebody is living next to a transmission line. On my farm, I've got a big transmission line going from North Dakota all the way to the Twin Cities here. Electricity's going by my farm all the time, and boy, did those farmers protest that power line coming through there. They were cutting them off with cutting torches, and Paul Wellstone was out there egging them on, and my sheriff was out there trying to maintain peace and order, and he wound up getting attacked, and he suffered the rest of his life with a sore neck just because of that power line. So at any rate, that's the point I wanted to make, and I suppose some people aren't going to agree with me, but for heaven's sakes, we just have to think of society as a big... a big wide world out there and do our part to make things go. And part of doing our part is having something in our backyard that we don't like.
Yeah. Senator Dill, would that include having wetlands in your backyard that you don't want?
Well, on my farm, I've got a 10-barn turkey complex right next to me that some people may not like to live next to, but I'm sure glad it's there because it protects my west flank from urban sprawl.
Well, Senator Dill, I think you're probably succeeding in making people mad by what you said, but, you know, it's important to have that discussion about how far do you go in finding balance because, on the one hand, you're right, we benefit from that scotch tape and those post-it notes that 3M makes. But we also have things called zoning and we have permits. We have limits on where and when things should happen because they don't all belong right next to people. And so I think those are things that always have to be considered as well. I know a year or two ago I went through a very similar issue in my district where there was a proposal for a garbage burner in St. Paul near where a lot of people live right next to a residential neighborhood, and it wasn't hazardous waste. It was just processed garbage, but there's still signs up. Some people still won't take their signs down, even though that's never going to get built, because they feared for the health of their families and their children, and that gets people, there's nothing that people will get more upset and emotional and angry and try to stop than something that they think threatens the health of their children.
Madam Chair, and I'd just like to respond briefly to Senator Dill. Senator Dill, first I'd say that the community already understands that there is a commercial incinerator in their backyard. And this proposal in front of us does not intend to shut it down. All we're saying is, why does it make sense for the state of Minnesota, through the permitting process by the MPCA, to allow a company to bring in waste from other companies from outside of Minnesota. There are other hazardous waste facilities in the United States that can process additional hazardous waste. Why do we need to allow additional hazardous waste incineration here in Minnesota? The other point that I made earlier, but I just again stress, is if companies are now allowed to give their hazardous waste materials to Cottage Grove to process, they're losing their incentive to decrease their amounts of hazardous waste, because instead of paying a third-party operator to handle them and to process them, 3M will take it and incinerate it for free. But the mayor also wanted to respond to your comment, Senator Dale.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Dale. You were kind of going down a laundry list, I guess you'd say, of a variety of items that are, you know, somebody has to live next to it. I would just share with you that in Cottage Grove, other than the incinerator that is before you that we're talking about, we're sandwiched between two refineries. We have a junkyard that deals with cars, and we also have hazardous waste dumps that have been and property that's within Cottage Grove and right outside Cottage Grove, which, by the way, has leached into our water and contaminated our drinking water. So I would say that the citizens of Cottage Grove have done a lot to take outside wastes and deal with a lot of environmental issues within our community, a lot more than many other communities have.
By the way, I want to recognize Representative Bingham, who is here as well from the district, and thank you for being here.
I would approach, but I know it's not protocol. So.
Well, you can. We're pretty flexible here. All right, there were a lot of hands up. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think this might be directed to Ms. Batroot, but I'm, like Senator Frederickson, a little confused about some of these definitions. We're dealing with a commercial hazardous waste incineration facility, but it isn't if you don't charge for the commercial hazardous waste that comes in. And then I guess I'm confused then about what's the definition of commercial hazardous waste. Is it from a commercial operation, or does it just have to do with being charged?
Madam Chair and Senator, thank you. I will attempt to answer that. The commercial incineration, the word commercial implies receiving remuneration for that service. In this case, it would be money. Hazardous waste is defined by our governmental regulatory agencies. And so hazardous waste, which comes to us, is defined by those agencies. And the commercial hazardous waste incinerator is a facility that would burn those defined hazardous wastes for a fee or some type of remuneration. Does that help?
Senator
Madam Chair, well, Ms. Batroot, I think the commercial hazardous waste definition is a little fuzzy to me. I really do think that, as I define it again, it would be coming from a commercial facility or a commercial producer or manufacturer or whatever. That is, so, I mean, and of course, until we get the experts from the MPCA maybe to set up what they consider to be their definitions of that, you know, I think we're going to have a little problem. But those are my questions anyway.
Thank you. Good points. And it's a good question. That's kind of a common sense reading of the word. All right, Senator Hahn, and we are going to finish this bill by 8 o'clock, members, and we'll be out of here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Ms. Batroot. Does the current facility in Cottage Grove burn waste from 3M facilities that are located outside of the state?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes. We are a corporate hazardous waste incinerator, the only one in the company. 3M company has 65 manufacturing plants across the United States. Each of those plants sends their hazardous waste and much non-hazardous waste as well. When incineration is the preferred method, it is sent to our facility. So we already get materials from across the U.S. We've proven for nearly 40 years that we have a process that does that safely and effectively and in a regulatory and environmentally friendly way.
And Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hahn.
And Ms. Batroot. And I just want to be clear on what your testimony was earlier. As I understand it, you are wanting to take in solvents from some other places. But as I hear your description of it, and I think Senator Frederickson made the same point, that it is essentially as a fuel to substitute from the from having to purchase natural gas. And then you also indicated in your testimony that you are willing and would be willing to put language into whatever this new permit would be to make it clear that you're not going to be taking in, waste from any other place just as a matter of convenience to them to dispose of it. But what you're trying to do is bring in a fuel that is technically a hazardous waste substance because it's got to be disposed of, but it also has a particular use. Is that correct, that you have not an interest in becoming a burner for people around the country, but you're looking for a way to solve a problem in terms of the cost of running the plant, and this is one way to do it? And you're willing to specify that in your permit, such as it would be approved. Is that correct?
Madam Chair and Senator, you are absolutely right. The waste fuel that we are proposing to bring in is simply meant to be a fuel. We were very clear. That's a cost savings issue for us. That's what started us toward this proposal. And I want to also add that we have restrictions in the permit language based on the city's Environmental Task Force recommendations that restrict exactly how much we can bring in, the DOT classifications of what those materials are, only high BTU wastes that would serve as fuel, nothing that isn't. And we also have tens of millions of dollars of air pollution control equipment that are in place to manage a facility like ours. And the MPCA, with their subject matter expertise, sets those limits for us. And regarding the public issue, I just wanted to add that we are on a 1,750-acre site, and we maintain approximately a one-mile buffer zone around our facility in order to provide that buffer zone or that barrier that is of concern. Thank you.
And Madam Chair,
Thank you. And Senator Hahn, you're wrapping up.
Yep. I just want to make one comment on this, to the committee generally, is the concern I have about this is that we do have a process to do these things. I think we ought to let the process go forward. I think it sends a very bad signal to the businesses in this state that we as a legislature are willing to intervene in a process that's been established. I think if we do that, I think it makes it a high-risk project for other businesses to do business in Minnesota, not being able to rely on the regulatory scheme that we have put in place as a state. And so I guess I would urge caution and let this process that's in place and going forward right now continue until its completion. And that's my comment.
Thank you. We don't have the bill in our committee, and so we will not be taking any votes tonight. We just wanted committee members to be aware of this issue and discuss. I don't know, Senator Steven, it will be up to you to see what you can do. But I do think that I see a community that's in need of a mediator to try to – it sounds like you're very divided and not getting any closer to finding agreement, and that's unfortunate. So this is –
Can you take one citizen?
Okay, if you're really quick. 1 minute. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Pam Ott Morris. I live in Cottage Grove, and I think this is a really exciting process. I wanted to say that if you're confused, imagine all the people in 1970 were. Okay, Sandy Sheely, who was our mayor at the time, it was pretty much a handshake thing. She came to our city council meeting and she said that. My generation laughs at handshake. We think that's very funny. That whole generation, my dad still does handshakes with deals. I think that's funny. Okay. When in 1970, when I flew on airplanes, people smoked next to me. They can't smoke next to me now. They can't smoke in a, they can't smoke in a restaurant. They can't do that. This is 2010. I have a beautiful river lot that I look at 3M and I look at the river. So I live right there. I have three beautiful young children. There's a little Josephine who lives in the neighborhood. We, our backyard is full, quote unquote, Sandy Sheely, our previous mayor. Our backyard is full. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being so succinct. We appreciate that. All right, members, we're gonna wrap up tonight. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for the time and the information. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, very much.
Oh, members, Friday we'll be marking up the bill. So,
what time, Madam Chair?
As soon as the staff has the bill ready. Yeah.
Chair, are you going to have a chair's recommendation to us, or are we
yes.
going to start with all the bills?
No. We will present something that we think it best reflects the work that we've done up till now, and then we can work off of that and add and subtract. Meeting's adjourned.